Hallelujah. God is still on the throne. He's still working. Actually, He's not still working. He's done it all. But He's answering and listening for us to come in line with His Word, to come in agreement with it, to confess His Word, which is truth. Amen? And when we do, He's eager. Did you know that? He's eager to answer. Remember the picture that He's standing up there, just kind of wringing His hands, nervous, jubilant, rejoicing over you and I. Amen? Praise the Lord. So He deserves to get praise and worship from us this morning. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I don't care how many years you walk with God, you haven't even come close to learning everything there is to learn. Not even come close. You're still at the beginning. You may grow and mature, but you still have got so much. And there is so much to God that He's inexhaustible. His blessings, His Word. Amen? Hallelujah. And if we're going to walk in those good things, we need to trust Him and we need to confess what He says. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. We're going to pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Father, we love You. We thank You and we give You praise for this morning, Lord. More than anything, for Your presence here. We've gathered in Your name and You promised that You are in our midst. So now this morning, Lord, with the love and the adoration that we have in our hearts, we want to give to You praise and worship. We want to extol and lift You up. We want to bring honor and glory to You. Father, we thank You for this day and this time. We confess, we acknowledge that we are Your people. This is Your time, Lord. And we're here for You, Lord. We also thank You, Lord, in advance that You have a word this morning, Lord. And Lord, we pray, we acknowledge, and we absolutely confess that we are receptive, open to what You have this morning, Lord. Take it, Lord. Use it for Your honor and glory, Your kingdom, to change lives, direct and correct. For this we praise You and thank You. Let us be sweet smell, sweet sound to You this morning, Lord, as we lift our hearts and our hands to You, Lord. And we sing praises to You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
I heard on a radio station the other day that a Jewish fellow was talking to a Christian. He says, I hear that some Christians are supporting Israel with small funds through a couple of different missions. And he says, I want to know something. Why are the Christians doing this? And the man was quite upset. And he says, what are they going to get out of it? And of course, you know, now is he a Jew or is he just of a Jewish descent? If he doesn't know the word. But that box that we have with a sign on it says, I will bless those who bless you. I wonder if the Jews would be blessed if they blessed the Christians. I wonder if there's any retaliation. But anyways, please remember there are many people that these people are helping. There are people in Russia and Ukraine and all the old Uzbekistan, all these places that people are destitute. And they're trying to get out of those countries to come to do their aliyah, which is coming back to Israel. These people need help. And the Bible says that the Jews will return to Israel. And they're doing it. And it's really helping a lot of people. And you'd be surprised how much it helps. It does bless. We and I are blessed. And this church is now starting to be blessed too. You watch. You'll see.
Father, this morning we thank You once again. We thank You for Your word. We thank You that You are. You not only possess, but You are the way, the truth, and the life. And we come to You this morning, Lord, seeking that way, Your truth, and Your life this morning. Once again, we've surrendered to You, Lord. Now we ask, Lord, that You touch these coals with a coal from off the altar of God, that I'd be able to bring forth Your word this morning, Lord, with power and might. And Lord, that You, by Your Holy Spirit, would transform lives, would cause faith to grow. I surrender to You, Lord. I am Your servant. In Jesus' name, we thank You and praise You that we're going to be changed, directed, and corrected this morning for the kingdom of God, for Your honor and glory. And all who agree, say amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. We spoke a couple of weeks ago. Patrick titled it, What You Expect Is What You Get. I want to talk a little bit more about that. Turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And then go over to Hebrews chapter 11. Just put your finger in Hebrews chapter 11. Hallelujah. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. Let me read that one more time. For indeed, the gospel, the good news, was preached to us as well as to them, but the word, how many know the word is the gospel, good news, because it's about Jesus, who is the living word, amen? Hallelujah. But the word which they heard did not profit them. Now we know that the word changes things. We know that the word, when it's spoken, calls those things which be not as though they are. How could it not profit them? The reason it didn't profit them is because it wasn't mixed with faith. What is faith? Faith is the substance or the assurance or the conviction of the things that you hope for. Why do you hope for things? What gives you the ability to hope for things? It's based on the fact that God cannot lie. He cannot change because He is who He says He is, and He will hold His word until the day of Christ's return. In fact, it'll reign for eternity. He never changes His word. And He never reneges on His word. Now turn over to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, and then verse 6. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence, again, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. God spoke these things into existence. Our words carry power. Our words carry authority. If you don't think so, just look at where you are right now, either the great things that are going on in your life or some of the negative things that have tried to overtake you, and you'll find that your words are what led to either your blessing or your trouble. We all know that. By our words and by our faith words or faith-filled words, we obtain, like the elders, a good testimony. Verse 3, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. You and I have the ability to frame a world around us, the same as God did, by coming in agreement with the absolute, infallible, unchangeable, unquenchable, undying Word of God. If we'll come in agreement with His Word and we will confess it with our mouth and believe in our hearts, we will walk in the same blessings. And He even said, even more. These things you'll do in My name and even more. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 6. But without or separate faith, separate, without faith or conviction, without separate faith or conviction, it is impossible, or it's unable, you're unable to please Him. For he who comes, or he who approaches God, must believe or be persuaded that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. When I got here this morning, I was meditating the message, what God had given me. And all of a sudden, God reminded me. I can remember years ago, standing in a little apartment on the second floor in Arvada. And I can remember with all of my heart desiring to be able to sing. And yet being so afraid that even if I could sing, I was so scared that it wouldn't come out good anyway. I had a wonderful choir that I sang with. Tell you what, God used and blessed them. But the point was, there was a desire in my heart to sing for Him. And God knew that. Now, I never made a big deal of that, but God knew what was in my heart. And He reminded me that just that desire blessed Him, because He knew that my heart was, it's for You, Lord. I've told all of you, I will never ever use it to entertain people or for my own personal gain. I'll use it so the people get blessed. I'll use it because God's anointed me and given me the talent, and I'll use it for the kingdom of God to be built. Nothing else. Otherwise, I won't sing. And God dropped that gift in my heart. I remember going on that Wednesday night when they had the... maybe one or two people here remember that. The Wednesday night they had tryouts. And I'm at home. I'm kind of puttering around the house trying to help my wife out. She had the kids. They were gone. My daughter had just been born. And I picked up an old hymnal and I saw this song and I started to sing it. Now, I had been inspired by several individuals who were not only talented, but they were anointed. They were gifted and anointed. And you could tell by the music. The music blessed people. It changed people's lives. It caused the Spirit of God to come in and move in the midst of people, because people's minds and hearts would be focused on Him. Not the music necessarily, but the fact that the anointing was there. How many know the anointing breaks the yoke? And so I, with all my heart, wanted to sing. And God reminded me of that this morning. I went and tried out on that Wednesday night. In fact, I began to sing that song while I was puttering around the house or the apartment, and I was stunned. I was just goofing off. But what came out of my mouth shocked me. And so when they made that announcement on that Sunday, I went and tried out. And I can tell you, there was a lot of people blown away. Not because of me, because of Him, because of His faithfulness. I can remember the man who knew music, the man who was the music leader of the church, he was also one of the youth leaders, one of the elders, he stood there and he could not believe what was coming out of my mouth. Well, I couldn't either. Where did that come from, you know? How's this possible? But you see, God knew the desire of my heart, and He knew that my heart was right towards Him. But the point is, He has made promises to us, and those promises in Him are what? And so be it. Amen. That's right. Now then, let me ask you a question. If that kind of thing is the thing that God blesses and He does without you even speaking it, then how about the things that He knows you have need of before you ask? What about the financial difficulty that you may be facing? The struggle for 3 years to get your loan to go through because of dishonesty, because of lies. The greater one dwells in you. Those things can't stand. You hear me? They cannot stand because the greater one dwells in you. He lives in and abides in you because your heart is focused on Him, because you love Him. Amen? Whatever else it is, if you're facing, I don't care if it's an operation or a procedure, whatever you want to call it, I don't care what it is. He knows what you have need of. And He said, it's my good pleasure to give to you, what? The kingdom down here. So why would I, when things look like they're not going the way I expect them to go, get shook up and focus on that rather than the fact that God has promised and God... Again, I can tell you many things. The car I'm driving. My heart, I said one day, I'll have a Ford Taurus someday. I just like the car. I'm driving a Ford Taurus. I never told anybody that, but God knew. So why would I let or entertain the thoughts that I'm going down for the count? Why would you entertain the thoughts you're going down for the count in whatever circumstance you want to name in your life? Why would you consider that? Even for a moment. Even for a moment. See, the gospel that was preached doesn't profit us if it's not mixed with faith. The assurance, the conviction that what He said He will do and what He promised is yours. He's given it to you. He said, no good thing will I withhold from you. So why would we believe anything else? Just because of what we see or what we feel? Remember, those things affect the senses. And the senses are directed and connected to the heart. And the heart is what, according to the Word? It's deceitful. It wants to look at those things. It wants to pick them up and hold them almost like a security blanket. A little sleep, a little slumber, and a little folding of the hands, and so your poverty will come. Why do we do that? What we need to be doing is we need to be focusing on the fact that God has made promises. He cannot fail. He cannot lie. And they will come to pass. If you plant the seed, the Bible says you will receive a harvest. I don't care what the seed is. We all know that if it's negative, it's going to be a negative harvest. We all know that if it's a positive thing, it'll be a positive harvest. Amen? Where you are today is a direct result of what you believe and what you confess out of your mouth. I would admonish you today, as I admonish me. In fact, the Word has just politely, if you will, allow me, bent me over, picked my coattails up, and booted me right in the rear end. And I like it. And I like it. You hear what I'm saying to you? Now, our responsibility is to be in this book, to examine not only what He has said to us, but what we have experienced in our lives. Again, I ask you, name one time when God has let you down. See, for you to lose, God would have to lose. Because if everything you are and everything you have belongs to Him, then for it to be stolen, what's our responsibility? To take it joyfully. Why? Because when you take it joyfully, you don't waver. Then what that does is reveal the thief's purpose and plan. And God says, when the thief's found out, He will restore sevenfold out of the goods of his house into your bosom. Amen? Sevenfold. Sevenfold. Turn with me, if you will, to Mark 11, 22 through 24. Imagine that. Is there anybody here who doesn't know those scriptures? Mark 11, 22 through 24. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God." What are we talking about? Well, first of all, let's examine that. Why would I have faith in God? Let me ask you this. When you had faith in God at your spiritual rebirth, when you were born again, were you born again? Is there anybody who doubts that? Is there anybody who thinks that God may have changed His mind? Oh, you didn't answer so quick that time. God said nothing will be able to separate you from His love. Not things physical, not things spiritual, not things in the earth, not things above the earth, not things under the earth. Nothing shall by any means separate you from His love. So if that's the case, then what's going to separate you from love? Separate you from the blessings of God. The only thing that will stop them from coming in the due time is your lack of faith. Or being focused on things that are and teaching them as though they are not. Now that's foolishness. But when you operate in faith, you come to things and you look at them and you understand the Word says, call those things which be not as though they are. You may not have it right in your hot little hand at that moment, but that doesn't mean that it's not on the way. That doesn't mean that it's God doesn't have it for you. You need to understand that God does not want you. First of all, what kind of example is a person? Even in the Bible, when we look at even the widow and her mite, what kind of an example is that to people out there? What motivation is there to become a Christian if all you do is live in poverty? If all you do is live in sickness and disease? That's been paid for. Tell you what, Wednesday night services, if you haven't come, you need to come because it'll be established. You'll understand. Those things were once and for all named and nailed on the cross. They're handled. They're taken care of. It's finished. It's finished. Now you need to pick up what is rightfully yours. Well, Bill, that's kind of... No, that's not arrogant at all. That's understanding whose you are, who you are. You understand? You're a blood-bought, born-again, redeemed child of the living God. You are part of the body of Christ. For you to suffer in lack or want or in sickness or disease means the body suffers and the head suffers. And who's the head? That's right. Amen. Is that possible? No. No. So you don't think He's going to come and He's going to do what's necessary to keep you strong, keep you healthy, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially, tie it outside. Not here. For indeed, the gospel is preached, but it didn't profit because it wasn't mixed with faith. Faith, what is faith? Faith is the assurance that He is and has given us everything that we need to exist. Faith is the assurance of Matthew chapter 6 when it says, don't worry about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, or where you're going to live. Don't I take care of the little birds? Are you not much more than little birds? Now, if you don't understand that that's the case, and you need to go back to the Word back in Genesis and understand that God and what God says about us. We were created a little lower than the angels, but God crowned us with glory. Amen? Hallelujah. He created us for fellowship with Him. And so, what can overtake us? But we also understand that He's given us the things that we need to be able to stand in faith, to operate in faith, and to see these things come to fruition. He's given us the whole armor of God. That wasn't just to sit on the shelf, that was to wear every day so that we can withstand those things that come against us. The shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the blessed parade of what? Righteousness. Your feet shod with what? The preparation of the gospel of what? Peace. The sword of the Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. How many times have we heard in this house, there's no armor in the rear. You turn tail and run, and guess what? You're a target. We need to get some grit. We need to stand there with that armor, and we need to look the devil right in the face and say, come on, fool. I'm ready for you. That's right. That's right. See, we get so shook up. You know, somebody told me one time, oh, don't laugh at the devil. He'll come get on you. Hogwash. Hogwash. Don't talk to me about your fear. I told you a minute ago, I know whose I am and I know who I am in Him. I am more than a conqueror. I am a victor, not a victim. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're not getting excited, you should be. Verse 23, Mark 11, 23. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, what mountain? Fear, lack, anxiety. Whatever you want to put there, whatever is affecting you at this moment in the negative realm, put that there. If you say to this mountain, it's a mountain of unbelief, right? It's attacking your faith, isn't it? Then it can't be from God, can it? I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. If it's the enemy coming and whispering in your ear, you blew it, you messed up, you really screwed up this time. Hogwash. Tie it outside. Remember, we talked about 2 weeks ago, put that stamp on it, return to sender, address unknown. Nobody here by that name, nobody here receiving that package. Amen? What does the enemy want to do? Once again, he wants to steal the word. And he does it through things where he knows you're vulnerable. So the key is, grow up. Grow up. Stop letting little things. Don't be tossed into to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Stand fast in the liberty that God has made you free with. Amen? Don't get that yoke of bondage on you again. Remember that whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven, and whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. That means if you loose the things of God in your life, at the same time you're binding those things that come from the enemy. But when you bind the enemy, you're not only binding him here, but you're binding him up there. And that stands. Why? Because you are a part of the body of Christ. Do you hear me? Because you walk in the same authority, the same anointing. What anointing? The Anointed One lives and dwells within you. Amen? Christ means the Anointed One. Anointing. You're anointed. Kemp, do you know you're anointed by God? The anointing abides within you. That's why you can go and do things and see them happen, because God and Jesus and the Holy Ghost dwell in you. And that goes for every person here. Amen? Hallelujah. Therefore I say to you in verse 24, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe. Be convinced. Be assured that you receive them and you will have them. Did you see that? Read that carefully now. It doesn't say maybe or when it's too late. It says you will have them. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not going to be a long message, but I believe it's a good message. Hallelujah. I could name examples all day long. I want you to stop where you're at right now and look at the things in your life that make you feel uneasy, that hurts your heart, maybe even make you cry. Look at those things. And you examine your heart, which the Scripture tells you to do, consider your ways, and see if you're walking in faith or unbelief. Guess what? You can change it today. How? By coming in agreement with and confessing the Word of God. Because there is no other truth. When we become convinced that there is no other truth, we're going to walk in such victory that it's going to absolutely astound us. And it's going to astound people around us. Amen? But you've got to be convinced. You were convinced enough when the Holy Ghost came on you and convicted you. He didn't condemn you. He convicted you of your sin, of your shortcoming and your shortfall and your need for the Lord. Amen? He's for you. He's not against you. The one who's against you is on the opposite team. He's the one who comes to steal and to kill and destroy. Steal your faith. Steal your life. Kill the Word in you and destroy everything that God has done in your life. We need to get some backbone. We need to get some fight. Look him right in the eye and say, not here. Not here. Not here. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? What do you think about it right now, where you are right now. What do you stand to lose if you were to give up and turn around and go back right now? What do you stand to lose? Eternity. Eternity. With God. You're going to live in eternity, but the choice is yours where and whether you live in victory or just barely get by. Amen? Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 11. And we're going to draw to a close with this. But what does it say? Listen carefully. The Word, what does John 1:1 say? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's right. The Word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. Is that a true statement? That is the Word of faith which we preach. And then verse 9 says, that if you confess with your mouth, speak those things into existence like God did when He framed the worlds, the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. See, sometimes in religion we get tunnel vision. That doesn't just mean salvation like when you got born again. Doesn't the Bible say salvation is new every day? You will be saved. What does that mean? Saved from calamity. Saved from poverty. Saved from sickness. Saved from disease. Saved from anxiety, mental anguish. What does the Bible say is our strength? The joy of the Lord. That's our strength. Well, if God didn't promise these things and we don't have any ability to get them, there's not much to be joyful about, is there? We don't have the ability to walk in them, there's not much reason to have joy, is there? But the point is, we do have them. Why? Because we're sons and daughters of the living God. Amen? But it takes confession with your mouth. You have to speak. And when you speak, you plant the seed. What does the Bible say again in Matthew? It says the sower sows what? The Word. Are you a sower today? Because God promised as long as there's seed time and harvest, and the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, as long as there's a sun and a moon, there will be a harvest. Amen? Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe it in your heart. What does that mean? Act on what you know. Act on the promises of God. Call those things which be not as though they are. You believe that God raised Him from the dead, didn't you? Otherwise, if He's still in the grave, then what are we doing here today? Let's go fishing. Let's go to the ball game. We know, don't we? Listen carefully. For with the heart, one believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, listen carefully now, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. Scripture talks about the seed or the righteous never being forsaken. What makes you righteous? That's right, Jesus. And part of that is the desire to walk in the truth, which He is. So you're walking in Him. You can't change or alter truth. Truth is truth, and it stands alone forever. Amen? It stands alone forever. Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. I'm going to read out of the Amplified. I shared this with Marie on Wednesday night. I like what the way the Amplified puts it. 1 John 3:20. If you're tormented and convicted today, convicted, not condemned. Well, in fact, if you are condemned today by the word that's come forth, listen carefully to this. This is what's going to set you free. Truth. Say that with me. The truth will set me free. Amen. Here's what it says. 1 John 3:20. Whenever our hearts in tormenting self-accusation make us feel guilty and condemn us, for we are in God's hands, for He is above and greater than our conscience or our hearts. He knows and perceives and understands everything. Nothing is hidden from Him. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He's greater than all that. Hallelujah. You're His. He has your name printed in His palm of His hand. And He's put His name on your forehead. Tell me where or when the Bible says you're defeated. The ones who are defeated are the ones who never come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. They've rejected the only thing that can bring joy and happiness and blessing in all areas of life to them. It's because they've rejected the truth. They don't walk in truth. So today, let's make the decision. We're going to walk in truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help us God. What does He say? I'm a co-laborer with you. I'm the one who will bring it to pass. You make the confession. You plant the seed of faith. What's the seed of faith? The agreement with the Word. Praying the Word in your situation. Plant that seed. And watch that seed bring forth what? Fruit in abundance in your life and my life. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. praise you, Lord. I can tell you something. It takes faith, and it takes the anointing, and it takes God's presence to be able to preach a message like this when you're walking neck deep in situations that look like the end. But I am persuaded that He is able to keep what I've committed to Him. Not only what I've committed to Him, well, I mean, He's given it all, so I've given it back to Him, which it's committed to Him. I'm persuaded that He's able to keep what I've committed to Him against that day, against the day of calamity, and against the day of His return. And in that, He promised we should suffer no lack. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. When I began to think about what God spoke into my heart and reminded me about the music He's put in me. Most of you know, I have no ability. I can't read music. I've had no formal training. But I've had the best training I could ever get. That's a gift from God and the desire to use it for His glory and honor. And all of a sudden, man, the electricity, the goosebumps started up and down my spine. Now, I'm not talking about the guy who went out and talked about the first time he ever kissed his wife. He said, you talk about emotion. He said, it ran cold chill up and down his spine. Her popsicle was dripping. Now, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the anointing, the presence of God, the tangible presence of God that sends goosebumps up and down your spine, sends chills, sends electricity, because you know that the eternal Father and Creator of the universe, the Father of the one who came to be obedient to Him so you and I could be saved according to His plan, the Father's plan, has given promises, and He's the one standing there. The Holy Spirit reminding us, Jesus causing the work to be done. But we have to be convinced. We can't lightly go through our Christian walk and say, oh well, or just cower and shake when the enemy's attack comes. See, folks, when the Bible says the kingdom of God suffers violence, violent take it by force. What does that mean? What's the picture you get when you hear that? That means that you know what God's promised you and you go after it. And you have to knock some heads to do it in the demonic realm. Then do it. Do it. Make the determination that you are a victor and not a victim. That you are more than a conqueror. There's more of you than there are of them. Amen? Hallelujah. And no good thing will He withhold from you. He doesn't want you. What kind of a testimony would it be to Him if you and I walked in sickness and disease, abject poverty, or lost the blessings that He gave us? Now, I will tell you, if it's His anyway, then you don't lose. Your physical selfishness may feel, oh no. But the point is, you don't lose. What will it profit you or I if we gain the whole world and lose our soul? The most important thing is our relationship with Him. The other things are promises and blessings that He promised us. And He's not going to let the enemy steal them from us unless we just flat lay down and let Him. You have the authority. You have the ability. Amen? We are His body. We are the hands and feet of Christ in this earth. We can't minister to others if things aren't taken care of in our lives, can we? Praise God. God is so good. God is so good. Hallelujah. It's in those times when it looks like things are getting dark, when if you run, don't just walk, but run into His presence. And get quiet before Him. He begins to speak to your heart. Remind you of things. like the day you desire to sing for the Lord, to be able to praise Him and worship Him, to minister for Him, or whatever it is in your life. You put your circumstance or your situation in there. That's what it's all about. Do you think God's going to keep you from having the ability to minister to other lives, minister life into other lives? How much life can you minister if you're not walking in the blessing? How much blessing can you show if you're not walking in the blessing? Amen? Being obedient to His Word. What does obedience do? God says, I desire obedience more than sacrifice. Amen? Hallelujah. So I would encourage you this morning, don't make any more sacrifices. Walk in obedience. Amen? Hallelujah. You can't lose. Did you hear me? You can't lose. You can't lose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Yes. Oh, there is within my heart a melody. He keeps me singing as I go. Fear not, peace be still. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Remember that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. Things in heaven, things in the earth, things under the earth, they all have to bow and confess that He's Lord. And that means the attacks, the blessings, the discomforts have to bow their knee and confess that He is Lord. For what? For the glory of God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Out of here today with the knowledge that there's still room at the cross for those who are seeking Him. Hallelujah. When you speak to people, remember that. When you share with people, remember that there's still room at the cross for them. Amen. He's not there, but the work that He did is still there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you need prayer for anything, we'd love to pray with you. Are all hearts clear? If you can't answer that quickly and honestly, then you need to come. Get your heart clear. Amen. Remember, there is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. As you walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. Amen. That's the key. Well then, Father, I thank you that this is a blessed people. I thank you, Lord, that they walk exude and emanate power and authority. Your power and authority, not their own, but yours, Lord. And the things that they touch, Lord, prosper. No matter whether it's ministering to another or the things that they bring to your attention, Lord, which we know that you already know, Lord. We know that you already know. But Lord, it's finished. The work is done. And because of that, Lord, we walk in truth. We live in truth. We abide in truth. Your truth. You are the way, the truth, and the life. Now, Lord, seal your word in these hearts, Lord. We thank you for this day. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for the anointing. Which what? Breaks every yoke, Lord. Breaks every yoke. Your anointing breaks every yoke. And we're free. For that, we praise you and thank you and give you praise today. In Jesus' name. Now go with your people, Lord. Let your blessings abound to them, Lord, as they faithfully serve and walk with you. And let them go in the knowledge that you're not withholding anything from them, Lord. And you don't use things like that to teach people things, Lord. We give you praise and glory. In the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord.